last week I spoke at Midtown, and so he said, well, let's use your sermon. So we mixed it up. But really, this morning, what the Lord had spoken to me probably about 3 weeks ago, I was kind of complaining a little bit. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, you just kind of complain. And I was like, oh, God, you know, why is this happening? And I'm just feeling miserable and all these things. Just so you know, Steve and I just had a healing week this week. Woohoo! And we made it. We came out of it, and it was very exciting. And the good thing is we love each other more than we did before, which is good, but we loved each other good then. So it's actually amazing how the Lord just blessed us in that. So just keep praying for us. We haven't had time to walk through our godly beliefs. You know how you're supposed to say them every day? But we haven't had time. So we're going to do that tonight. But anyways, 3 weeks ago, back to my story, I was like, I said, Lord, why is all this happening? And I was sort of getting a little bit heavy. And then he said, you know what, Sandra? You need to begin to pray with expectation. And I'm like, what? Yes, you need to pray with expectation. You need to come before me. And the things that I have spoken in your heart, you need to begin to declare. And, you know, and I'm like, yes, but God, you know, we've been declaring these things. And I've been praying these things. And I'm like, oh, you know, woe is me. You know, I'm not seeing them. And it's kind of, I mean, even as a pastor, when I'm seeing, you know, my family here, you know, where they're struggling in finances and jobs and things like that, it can get really discouraging. But he said, Sandra, I want you to pray with expectation. And so I just really began to search the scriptures, and I began to ask the Lord. And I remembered, you know, as a follower of Jesus, there's foundational things in our lives that we always need to remember. You know, things like reading your word. You know, reading the Word of God, making sure that you know, like, we every day I get CBN, I get the Word of the Day. And the scripture, and I read that, and I go, oh, that's good. You know, and even if that's all I read, you know that I'm getting the Word of God in my mind, in my heart, and I begin to declare with expectation, you know, in terms of what the Lord is doing. But prayer is such a key thing, isn't it? We need to keep talking to God, and God wants to talk back to us. So, Stephen.
Very good. So there's an amazing passage, if you'd like to turn in your Bible, to Acts chapter 12. Sandra's going to finish off, and I'm going to just quickly take us through this passage in like 5 minutes, just because of our time this morning. Sue, if you're able to put me up on the screen, that would be good. There we are. So very simple in your bulletin. There's a story that's in Acts chapter 12 of the church that began to go through some difficulties. And I start the first point by saying when things are good, we need to pray. What we're going to find, it would appear that when things were going well for the Christian church in the book of Acts, it doesn't seem like they took prayer as serious. It seems like only when the things began to go bad did they take things serious. So our first point that we want to talk about is when things are going really good, that's a very good time to pray. So the passage begins, it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And this happened during the festival of unleavened bread. And so the question is, was the church praying before all this happened? We don't know. We can't say yes. We can't say no. It doesn't say. But it would appear that they weren't because of some of the next verses. So the next point is, when things are bad, pray. So when it's good, when everything's going well, don't forget to pray. When things aren't going well, step up the prayer. After arresting Peter, Herod put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers, 16 guys. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. And so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was what? Earnestly praying to God for him. So especially when things are not going well, my guess is that Africans today are praying like never before. They're praying for rain, they're praying for food, they're praying for provision because things are not going well. I am absolutely confident that in Norway, people are praying today because of the disaster that's taken place, the calamity that's taken place. The challenge for us is not to wait for those times. It's to be praying protection over ourselves, be praying Psalm 91 over yourself and your health and all those different kind of things. The passage goes on, and the point that we make from this one is whether things are good or bad, pray for miracles. Like, there's no reason not to be asking God to do miracles when things are going good. Wouldn't you like a miracle to interrupt when things are going good? Would you like a miracle when things are going bad? Yes, you would. So here's the passage. It says, that night, before Herod was bringing him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the sentries, 14 other guys, stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side. I like the thing that he struck him, like angels are strong boys, or girls, I'm not sure which they are. But this angel, what says he, doesn't it? This male, maybe not, an angel, let's just stop there. An angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. By the way, angels don't look like angels from the comic books. They look like normal people when they show up. And so you don't know that it's an angel. So when he's a little confused, it's not because he sees wings. It's because it looks like a normal guy. That's part of the issue. The angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. He had no idea that it was an angel, that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. That's another miracle. And they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent an angel to rescue me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. So can I just encourage you, the church were now praying. They're obviously praying for Peter to get out of jail or for something to happen, for his trial or whatever the different things are. Be very careful in your prayers that you don't pray what you would like to happen. That's called a soulish prayer. That's called witchcraft in the Bible. Of you telling God, do it my way. Our role is to pray expectantly and say, God, you're very creative. How would you like to do it? We'd like Peter out of jail. So, Daddy, you do it however you want. Probably no one in that group was praying for angels. Now, I don't know. When we get to heaven, we can do a poll and walk around and say, were you in that group? Were you in that prayer meeting? What were you praying for? But God is able to do spectacular things, and we're to expect those kind of things to be taking place. Here's the good news. You don't even have to believe your prayer. I love this story. This puts Steve Long in a good light. Because there's a whole bunch of times I'm praying for things and I'm going, I don't know. But even when I'm bluffing, which is one of my ungodly beliefs from this week, that I'm not supposed to be bluffing anymore. I'm supposed to be, you know, being a little bit more truthful and not putting on airs that I know what I'm doing. So just to let you know. And not that we're in competition, but Sandra had more ungodly beliefs than I did. Just not in competition. She had one more than I did. God is able to answer our prayers. It says, when this dawned on Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark. Do you know who Mark is? He's the guy who wrote the book of Mark. It would appear he's just a young guy right now. He's going to do his first missionary journey later on with Paul and with Barnabas. He's going to duck out. It's going to get too hard for him on the missions trip, and he's going to duck out. This is formative days in this young man's life of Christian ministry, and can God do miracles? So it's interesting that little passage is put in. They went there to Mark's house where many people had gathered and were praying. What time of the day is it when they're praying? It's after Peter's gone to sleep, isn't it? And so they're having a long into the night prayer meeting. You'd think if they're praying long and into the night, they would be believing what they're praying, but they're not. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it. And she exclaimed, Peter's at the door. Listen to these men and women of faith. You are out of your mind, they told her. And she kept insisting that it was so, and they said, it must be his angel. He's dead. He's dead, and this is his spirit that you've sensed. That's people of faith, isn't it? But Peter kept on knocking, and they opened the door, and they saw him. They were astonished. What does that mean? It means we didn't think it was going to happen. Don't you like that God can hear your prayers when you don't think it's going to happen? That's one of the reasons why we gather together to pray, because sometimes I can't believe for my things, but I can believe for your things. Yes? Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, he said, and then he left for another place. So God hears our prayers, even when we don't know what we're saying is what God's going to do. God likes people to pray, even when we don't know that God's going to answer it. Sandra.
You know, I think that some of you might not remember the history of this church, but I remember John and Carol Arnott when they talked about when they were back in Stratford and how the Holy Spirit had broken out there and the Lord was pouring in there. And John and Carol share how at one point there were things going on that they just didn't understand, and so they sort of shut it down. And I remember them sharing that story, and they, when they saw that the Holy Spirit had lifted, they were so grieved. And you know what? They didn't run away from it. You know, sometimes when we're praying and things are going well, it's so easy to run away and say, woe is me. But what they did was they got on their faces, they got on their knees, and they began to pray with expectation, because the Lord had showed them what God was going to do, or what God had been doing that he would continue to do, but they just needed to pray. And so they took a year out. Every morning they got up and they spent the time reading in the Word, filling their hearts with a belief, you know, that God was able to do that God was able to pour out. They began to say, Lord, we'll never put our hands on this again, because we want to pray with expectation. We want to believe that your Holy Spirit is going to come and transform our lives. And because of the faithfulness, and, you know, this isn't just the two of them, but I just give that as an example, you know, because, you know, God gets all the glory and honor, you know, in that kind of thing. But that's the kind of sacrifice sometimes when we're praying with expectation. And so those people in the scriptures, they were praying, and it was late into the night. And I know that quite often that, you know, there, and maybe there's a season coming that when we're praying with expectation, that we're going to have to get on our knees. We're going to have to do 24-hour prayer for the sick in this place. We're going to have to do that, because, you know, when we say enough's enough, but when we believe what the Word of God says, when we believe, oh, God, it says because of what Jesus did on the cross that healing belongs to me, then we need to get on our faces. We need to be able to call on the name of the Lord and just say, God, will you come and do that? And so, but I realize that in the midst of praying with expectation, that sometimes it's years. Sometimes it's years where the Lord is just saying, you know, like you're praying, and then all of a sudden your faith just sort of wavers off, and you say, well, the Lord must not have heard me. And I know that we have people in our church that we've been praying and believing for financial breakthrough, for jobs, for many, many years, and we see glimpses of it. And it gets really discouraging, doesn't it? But we serve and we worship a living God, don't we? And, you know, we have to really, you know, with everything, that's why in these days it's so important that when we're praying that we listen to his voice, that we really press in church. I want to just say, press in even harder in this time. You know, when things are happening in Norway and in Africa, and you see that, and you see the devastation, the media shows you the devastation. You know, when I was looking at the news and I saw, you know, in Africa, how all the stuff, you know, those people were just lining up there, and there's disease all over their body, and the ground is dry, and it doesn't look like it's you know, what's going to happen. And you know what? I'm not God, so I don't know. I can't tell you what's going to happen. But all I know is that we need to pray. And it was interesting, because I don't know if the lady's here, but there was a lady that came to this 3-week school that we just finished, and she was from Norway, and I believe what she said, and I'll just let you say that.
Well, they'd had a prophetic word recently in Norway that when all the flags were half mast, and there was going to be some sort of calamity that was going to be taking place, that was a time to get ready, that God was getting ready to pour out in their nation.
So, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just don't know what that, like, that's incredible that, you know, here was this lady, you know, she, you know, in the middle of the school, near the end of the school, where that happened, and she's saying, okay, I'm going to start praying for my nation. And you know what, church, it's time to pray for Toronto. You know, if you live in Toronto, if you live in the GTA, it's time to pray for your city. Because you know what? More and more what God is going to do, you know, there's just stuff flying all around. And we need to pray for our MPs. We need to pray for those people. We need to pray with expectation. You know, there's a lot of things that people say. And when we hear the negative, we kind of group together. Do you ever notice that the negative group and then that's where the fear comes in. But I'm just saying, church, it's time to get up and begin to pray with expectation that the Lord is going to do it, that the Lord is in charge, and that this is a city, and that he loves us, and he wants to see all the earth come to know the Lord. And so there are things that are happening all over, and we need to pray. And so if you're feeling discouraged because you haven't seen it, you know, believe it. Believe it. I just, you know, I pray that the Lord would just put inside of your spirit this morning belief. That he would put belief. I want to have Hamish and Cheryl come up for a minute, or whoever wants to come up. Anyways, I think we should just end with this, and we're going to just do a little bit of ministry. But, you know, the power of testimony, really, all this morning is all being about prayer with expectation. But Hamish and Cheryl, actually, this is their last Sunday, so they get to share a little bit of their story. But Cheryl is in my cell group, and 15 years ago, the Lord gave her this amazing dream that the Lord was, this is before she's married, this is before she's met Hamish, that the Lord is going to give her a piece of land, or she's going to go to a piece of land in Alberta, you know, and she'll share a little bit about that. But, I mean, that's 15 years ago. And I know that there's, and she's just, well, first of all, so she actually went to Alberta, and she was living there, and she's waiting for it to happen then. But the interesting part is that since then, she moved back to Toronto. And, you know, and you're like, well, what's that about, God? You know, why, you know, do you tell me, you give me this incredible dream of what's going to happen here, but I'm back in Toronto, and what's going on? And their situation, you know, hasn't been the easiest in the sense of, you know, what the vision that the Lord has given them. But the Lord has called them to pray and with expectation in terms of what is going to happen. So I'm just going to have them share a little bit of their testimony.
Okay, so, okay. I am not comfortable talking in front of people.
She's comfortable talking.
Okay, Cheryl, do you want me to ask you a question? So, Cheryl, just briefly, 15 years ago, you had this amazing dream in terms of, because you were in Alberta, and what was the picture that the Lord showed you?
Well, it started when I was here, and I was... I was praying a lot, and I was reading the Bible a lot, and things really started to stand out. I started seeing mountains all around, so I moved out west, and I was just after my own personal. I just wanted to get married. That's all I wanted. And God, one Saturday morning, took all these verses that He had been showing me, and it was a vision. And I didn't even know anything about visions. I didn't know anything about intercession. And He showed me that there was this big picture of this land, and His glory was going to dwell there, and people were going to come from all over the world. And He showed me by His Spirit where the land was. And anyways, then back in 2000, I met Hamish. So I moved back here because this is where I'm from. And... I guess that's...
And then they got married. And so, Hamish, how about you?
So, Cheryl's had the vision for 15 years. We meet, she tells me about it, and there's this thing that resounds within your spirit. When you hear something from God, you know it's from God. And when you tie it with the prophetic words that God's given you through your life, you know there's life on something, and you take hold of it, and you start... talking to God about it, you start praying about it. God keeps, over the years, confirming things. And you know one day it's going to happen. You pray and you chat with God about it. And you go through seasons where you pray with fervor and expectancy. And you have days where you just kind of think, yeah, whatever, one day maybe. And about a year ago, God started really giving us little nudges, little clues that maybe it wasn't going to happen the way we expected. Maybe He had His own way of doing things. So it's hard to let go of the way you think God should do something. So late last year, God gave me a very clear word that in the new year, we were going to be in something new. So I'm thinking, oh great, He's going to provide finance. And it didn't happen the way we expected. What He did is He dried up the work. Had me at home spending 2, 4, 6, 8 hours a day just with Him, just getting to know him better and better. And finally he said, it's time to go. It's time to leave the nest. It's time to leave home. I am going to do it my way and you're going to see my glory. And we had days when we believed strongly, but we had days when we listened to counsel that wasn't entirely from God. And we had to turn back to him. We had to pull all of our prophetic words out, all the things we'd written down, all the things he had told us. And we had to go back through and say, nevertheless, this is what the Lord our God has told us. And we had to lay hold of the dream, and we had to lay hold of the scriptures, and we had to push back into our identity and believe that he is the God of the impossible, that he is faithful in every single thing he's promised. He's faithful in every name that he's given himself. And he says, I am the Lord your provider. I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord your righteousness. He's 100% of that all the time. And so the expectancy, we had to push back into him and expect and believe that he is faithful to perform that which he has promised. And that's where we are. We're leaving. This is our last Sunday. We're leaving home. And we're stepping out of the boat, expecting the God of the impossible to walk there with us. And we're believing we're going to walk into our identity in him and into our inheritance. And we're going to see the miraculous happen. And we're going to see the glory of the Lord come upon our lives and around us in a way that is too big for us to comprehend, but he's promised. Okay, so just got a reminder. So the land that we have this dream for is 40,000 acres. It's worth a couple of dollars. And we've been told by well-known, reputed prophetic people that we're going to have more than millions, we're going to have abundant finances and everything else. So we've expected we were going to buy this land. You know, so Cheryl wakes me up at 2:30 in the morning. She's not sleeping. She's been on the internet researching the land just to see what's going on. And she comes and wakes me up, somewhat distraught, as she's wont to do on occasion. And she says, somebody's bought the land. Somebody's bought the land. And she starts telling me about the guy that's bought the land. He's bought it and he's creating a travel destination. So he's creating a conference center and a nice restaurant and all this stuff that's happening. And I said, my thing was immediately, well, that's great. He's doing the work for us so we don't have to spend the money. And it turns out when we researched, this guy is a born-again Christian. He's got Christian people all around him. He's involved with Youth for the Mission and all sorts of things. So, you know what? God does his thing his way, and we're done. He's doing it.
So just stay here. I know there's so much more, and I know that they wouldn't share that. You know, this hasn't been an easy journey, has it? I know. Yeah, it hasn't. I know that we, in our small group, we've prayed for Cheryl and Hamish. I know in the prophetic group, they've been praying for them as they go on this journey. But I just really felt, there might be people here, and I'm sure there's people on the internet, so you can stand up where you are. But if you feel like you've been on this journey and you've been praying with expectation, but it's just been really hard and you're not seeing it in the natural. You're like, oh goodness, you know, I don't see the finances. I don't see anything. It doesn't appear that it's coming together. How about you just stand up right now? We really want to pray with you, you know, because the Lord is the one that spoke these things into your heart. He's the one that said, this is what I want you to do. But I often think that, you know, when year after year, when you don't see those things, it's really hard. And we're going to pray for Hamish and Cheryl right now, but I'm going to pray for you because I want you to remember, you know what, when the Lord speaks into your heart, the first question I always ask the Lord, have you changed your mind yet? I'm simple. That's all I say. God, have you changed your mind? You know, it's like on Monday morning when I get up and maybe there's been a few situations where it's been difficult on a Sunday and I think, I don't want to do this anymore. Now, I know you're shocked. But anyways, then I say to the Lord, I say, God, you know, have you changed your mind about my destiny? And he says, nope. I've called you to be a pastor, and that's who you are. And, you know, everything around Stephen and I, that's what we're supposed to be. And so I want you to close your eyes if you're standing, and those on the internet, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Just say, Holy Spirit, has the Lord changed his mind about my destiny or about the situation that I'm coming up with right now? And just listen for a moment. Father, ask that you would just block any negative words that would come against anybody right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask for clarity just to come right now. Now, if you're not hearing anything, but sometimes you just feel that, just trust that, okay? If maybe if you're not hearing anything, maybe it's because he hasn't changed his mind. And the plan hasn't changed. So now, what I want you to do is I want you to, don't look at to me or to Stephen or the church, but I want you to look to Jesus. I want you to look into his eyes. I want you to see how right now his eyes sparkle when he looks at you. That he loves you so much, that he is just so proud of you in the midst of everything that has happened, that you have decided to stand. I want you to see the way he looks at you. That he sees that you're beautiful, that he sees that you're smart, that he sees that everything about you, he's like, yes, yes. And so, Father, I'm asking right now that you would just come. And Holy Spirit, would you just come and fill these ones right now? Father, I'm asking that you would lift off of them any discouragement. Father, where it appears that the situations that are around them right now, it appears that they're not seeing the answers, the prayers that they've been praying. And Father, I'm asking that you would just give them a revelation of who they are right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Those of you seated, how about you get up and just go to one of your friends? Maybe you don't know the person that's closest to you, but if you don't mind just going. Those of you that were standing, could you put your hand up in the air? And when someone comes, put your hand down. That way we know who needs someone to go to them. So church, just get out of your chairs, move around. Some of you need to go backwards as opposed to coming to the front. So if you see a hand up, that means someone is still looking for them, for you to come and pray for them and just agree with them. Yeah. And again, when someone comes, just put your hand down.
And you know what, Stephen and I, one of the prayers that we've been praying and our pastors have been praying is for more of the presence of God in this place. So we're going to pray out loud. And if you're not praying for anybody, you can pray along with us. But Father, we thank you, Father, that you have given us this house. This is your house, and your well is in this house, and you love this house. Father, you love your people in this place. Father, we love what you're doing. And Holy Spirit, will you come and have your way? Will you come and have your way? Father, I thank you for prophetic words that have been spoken over this place. Lord, I thank you even for a prophetic word that came 2 weeks ago, somebody gave to me. And it's a simple word, but I just loved it so much. And it said, charge, charge, arise, arise and charge forth. I charge you to go forth with a new sound. And you know, the amazing thing about the word charge is they wrote it's a violent charge forward, the signal for attack, sound the charge, explosive and electricity. Father, we thank you for that word, Lord. We thank you that when your presence comes in here, that it's like electricity, Father, that your love just comes and overwhelms us. Father, we thank you that when people walk in here, Lord, they give their lives to you, Lord, because they just can feel it's different in here. So, Lord, we're just praying for more of that.
Daddy, we just declare for every person who's standing in this room, those of you watching on Catch the Fire TV, Father, we're saying doors open. Doors open. I don't remember exactly. I think it was two times in that story in Acts chapter 12 that when they approached the door, it opened. An inner door opened. An inner door opened. An outer door opened. And we just declare that without the angel touching the door, God just somehow opened it. And as they were approaching the door, as they approached the obstacle, as they came close to the place where this breakthrough needs to break through, Father, you just did it. And Daddy, we just declare that God is able for everything, whether it's health things, finances, relationships, whatever it is, you're able to do it. And Daddy, we declare that that we want in this room, at all of our campus venues, wherever they meet, Father, we're asking for us, we're asking for the churches in our city, that the glory of God would come into the places we meet, community centers, to schools. We're asking, Father, for God to invade our city. Good things to happen in Toronto, GTA, in Brampton, Mississauga, Vaughan, Durham, all the areas around Toronto. We're asking, Holy Spirit, for your presence to come, your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Do things on earth with us, with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with the people in our cell group. Do stuff with us as you do it in heaven, Daddy. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father.